Quebec politics can be mystifying to the rest of Canada. First of all, they're in French. Second of all, they're often reduced to a simple national issue, sovereignty, and that makes it difficult to focus on anything else. Less than a week from today, though, Quebec goes to the polls, and this is a provincial election the rest of the country needs to watch. For a few reasons. Sovereignty might not be on the table, but populism is, and so is something of a revolution. One party is making huge gains in the polls without even having a designated leader, and that same party might point the way for the future of left-wing politics in this country. Yes, it's complicated, but if you've been ignoring this campaign, we're here to tell you to stop. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Elias Makos is a co-host of Breakfast Television on City TV in Montreal. He's been reporting on the campaign daily, so he'll give us the big picture of what's happening in Quebec before we bring in another guest to break down the most fascinating little story about this vote. Elias, I feel like the rest of Canada doesn't pay enough attention to Quebec elections, and they actually get pretty interesting. What's going on out there?
I could not agree with you more. Because Quebec is the minority within Canada, and then you go to Quebec and there's a minority within that minority, which I'm a part of. I'm an Anglophone. I'm an English guy. I lived here all my life, went through the school system here and that kind of stuff. I'm bilingual, of course, because I grew up here. But Quebec is a very unique. It is a distinct society. But, you know, I think a lot of what happens in Quebec, you can look at the winds of change here, and you can see those winds in other parts of Canada. You can see those winds in other parts of the continent. So this is going to be an election that says a lot about where we are as a province, as a people. But I think one of the things to look at come the Quebec election is to see how resistant this province is to the winds of change. The Liberal Party, the ruling party right now, if there's one thing you can say, you know, they ran a decent government. There were not many scandals over the last 4 years with the current premier, Premier Philippe Couillard. It's been 4 years of a sort of stable government.
And how's that playing out in terms of the polls and where everybody stands?
Well, you know, one thing that Philippe Couillard did, the premier did, is he called an election campaign that is abnormally long, 39 days, the longest campaign we've had in a while. What the Liberal Party was hoping for was that somehow over the course of a longer campaign, the Coalition Avenir Quebec, the other party that had been doing very well in the polls, would somehow shoot themselves in the foot and allow the Liberals an avenue to come forward and become the next government. As we look at the polls right now, you know, it is very close. It looks like Quebec may be headed towards a minority government. The Liberals and the CAQ polling at around 30%. The problem for the Liberals is, you know, their vote is so heavily concentrated on the island of Montreal. You know, so they may be a neck and neck numbers-wise with the CAQ, but come election day, because of how concentrated their vote is, because of how strong the Liberals are with Anglophones and Allophones, that may come and hurt them come election day, because one thing we've seen that when it comes to Francophones, and Francophones are 80% of this province, they are heavily supporting the CAQ. The CAQ is winning amongst Francophone voters.
What's going on in this election that's different from elections either elsewhere in Canada or even from past Quebec elections?
Well, for Quebec elections, I mean, the one thing that is just, whoa, you sort of like a breath of fresh air, is that sovereignty, separation is off the table, at least for this election. If you look at the four parties, only the Liberals profess any sort of federalism. And it goes from, you know, an admiration to a love of Canada, depending on who you talk to. The three parties that have been kicking for a while here are all saying, okay, sovereignty, separation, that's not going to happen.
I know the rest of Canada doesn't pay as much attention as it should to Quebec politics, but how could this election in particular have ramifications beyond Quebec?
I think for the rest of Canada, you know, if you look at Canada as a whole, then you see Ontario go towards Doug Ford. Let's say Quebec goes towards François Legault and the CAQ, which has a much more anti-immigrant tone. Well, then I guess you got to look and say, well, how far can populism go in this country? You know, I think sometimes we like to say as Canadians, oh, you know, we look at the states, oh, well, we could never do that. And it's at our doorstep.
So it's not a sovereignty election, but it still kind of is an identity election then?
That's a good way of putting it. Identity always plays a part of a Quebec election. Identity is something that is up for play here. You know, the Liberals, what they keep trying to do, and by the way, I think they've been successful through the three debates, and we just had the third and final debate. You know, I think they were successful in pointing out the fact that, hey, you know, we need immigrants. This is something you can look at and say, ooh, it kind of feels a little bit like 2014, because the Parti Québécois in 2014 ran on something called the Charte des Valeurs, you know, Quebec values, values for Quebec. And as we talked about it more during the campaign, it didn't resonate well because it was negative. And I think that's what's happened here this time with this election.
So give me your bottom line then, after next week, who's in power in Quebec and what changes?
I think we're going to end up in a minority government situation. It really all depends on how well the Liberals can do with Francophone voters. They need to break through and win some more seats outside of Montreal. If they can sort of pull something out there and get Francophones to vote for them, then, you know, they could surprise us. There's this thing that pollsters call, you know, the ballot box bonus for the Liberals. They've always been very handy. At come election day, the Liberals will outperform their polls. Some people say it's because people don't like to admit that they would vote for the Liberals. Let's see on Monday if they get that traditional ballot box bonus. If they can go up, 4% from what they're polling in, they're going to surprise a lot of people. And it'll be sort of a rare occasion that we've seen in the last little while in North America where voters say, hey, you know what? Things aren't that bad. Let's give these people another chance or another 4 years. Because, you know, the current premier has only been in power for 4 years. Or it's going to go the way we've seen in other places. We want change. We don't care how. We don't care who it is. And we don't care if it's beneficial. But we want change. I think that's the key thing here come election day.
So you've given us kind of a picture of where things stand. And there, you know, you've mentioned the three big parties. But there's a fourth party in this election.
And that fourth party, Quebec Solidaire, has surprised a lot of people in this campaign. You know, this is not a traditional party. They are socialism to the extreme. The reason they want sovereignty, the reason they want separation for Quebec is because they want stuff that literally isn't possible within the framework of Canada. It doesn't have anything to do with the traditional Parti Québécois sovereignty of we want to separate because we want a French nation.
We'll have to look into that. Thank you for taking the time.
My pleasure, Jordan. Anytime.
Elias Makos, co-host of Breakfast Television Montreal. We wanted to take a closer look at how a party like Quebec Solidaire could come to make such a dent in the polls. So we called Giuseppe Valente, a reporter for Canadian Press, to give us a peek inside the origins of a grassroots party.
Hello?
Hey, is that Giuseppe?
Yes, speaking.
Hey, Giuseppe, it's Jordan calling from the Big Story Podcast. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thank you for taking the time. I'm going to get into it quickly because I know you're on your way to work. You don't have a lot of time. So let's start with this. Who is Manon Massé?
Manon Massé is someone very interesting because she's not like the other politicians across the country. And I actually wrote an article recently about how this election in Quebec is very distinct to Quebec. This is the first election period in decades where the question of Quebec independence is not being talked about because the three main parties are promising not to hold a referendum, at least in the next 4 years. But then we come to Manon Massé's party. Her party is called Québec Solidaire, and it's a political party that call themselves radical. They are quite radical. They propose things such as the nationalization or either part or in whole of the mining industry, the forestry industry, even the banking industry. They want to do it because they say that the people that should be benefiting most from these industries are the people. And right now, the money in the province go to a handful of individuals or corporations or shareholders, and they think that that is not fair. It's kind of similar to the classical socialist parties of Europe,
right?
Even the NDP of the 70s. So the NDP now, Jagmeet Singh federally, is not going to be talking about nationalizing Canada's banking industry. You know,
right.
You're not going to hear that from the NDP. We do hear that from Manon Massé. So she's someone who proudly wears a mustache. She's a woman. She wears a mustache. And this is something that she says, I'm not going to abide by the standards that you think women should look like. This is how I look like. And she proudly wears a silver mustache. And she's someone who's quite left of the political spectrum, clearly. And she's someone who didn't have a lot of pressure on her because she's the fourth place party.
Yeah.
Her party actually has 3 seats in the legislature. The polling suggests they can pick up a few more on the island of Montreal, including the seat of the leader of the Parti Québécois, which is under immense pressure because this new political party of Manon Massé is taking a lot of the support of the Parti Québécois.
Yeah, that was my next question, and we will get back to Québec Solidaire pretty quickly, but they're not the only fairly new party in this race, and outsiders like me typically expect a Quebec election to be between Liberals and the Parti Québécois and sovereignty to be on the table, and it seems that, like, none of that is happening in this election. So how did Quebec politics change?
So two important things have happened over the past several years. The first one is this idea of support for sovereignty. Support for sovereignty is at a historic low. I don't know if it's the lowest it's ever been. You know, it depends on what polls you're looking at and how far back you're going. But in general, young people today, particularly the young Francophones, because we know their families from Italy, Greece, if they're Jewish, the Anglophone immigrant community, they've always been quite federalist. So they've never really been supporters of independence. But really, it's this young Francophone population across the province, much less interested in sovereignty than their parents and grandparents. So that's the first thing. And the second one is this somewhat new party. It's called the Coalition Avenir Québec. So it's the Coalition for Quebec's Future as a loose translation. And it's headed by a former businessman named François Legault, who helped found Air Transat Airlines. Now, what's interesting about him is that he used to be a really gung-ho, separatist, sovereigntist minister in the Parti Québécois government of Lucien Bouchard and Bernard Landry. This was several years ago. So he left the Parti Québécois. And now in 2011, he formed this new political party. And he said, you know, Quebec is not rich enough. You know, we always talk about independence. If you want to be independent, you have to have money in your pocket. We have to be wealthy. So let's forget about independence, at least for now. That's what his initial message was. Let's get richer. Let's lower taxes. Let's increase foreign investment. Let's make Quebec strong. And then we can talk about sovereignty. And now, because he realized sovereignty is not the winning ticket, he says a coalition government will never hold a referendum on sovereignty. But he's a pragmatist and he's realistic. And he's like, you know, if you vote for me and my party, I'm going to cut taxes and I'm going to make us richer. And I'm not going to talk about Quebec sovereignty. And so this man and his party have been leading the polls for the past month. And so they've taken the nationalist vote from the Parti Québécois. They've taken a lot of that Francophone vote who otherwise would vote for the Liberals because they didn't want to, you know, to vote for the Parti Québécois because they didn't want to have a referendum. That's really valuable.
Where did Quebec Solidaire come from?
Quebec Solidaire has been around for quite a long time. In 2006, they were the product of a merger with several other smaller parties. They're all community left-wing parties, including the Communist Party of Quebec. So they all kind of grouped together and formed this Quebec Solidaire party. There are people who are anti-globalization. In French, it's altermondialiste. They talk about leaving capitalism behind, so they're anti-capitalist. I wouldn't go so far as to say they're socialist, because they don't really necessarily say that they are socialist, but I wouldn't say that they were ashamed, suggesting that many of their policies are socialistic in nature, particularly nationalization of much of the heavy industry in Quebec, including the banking sector. And so their rise is very interesting, because the incubator for Quebec Solidaire are these densely populated, creative neighborhoods in Montreal that first gave birth to the Parti Québécois. And so those neighborhoods right around there, the heavily Francophone, very educated people who aren't very rich, are urban Francophones in Montreal, have started to turn towards this party, Québec Solidaire. If you look at the polls, this political party can get a couple seats in the Montreal area, might get a seat in Quebec City, might finally branch out outside Montreal, which was something it's never been able to do yet. And so you have this upstart, very left-wing political party that talks about nationalizing industry, talks about free education from preschool to doctoral studies. They're looking to find $13 billion more a year in revenues for the state. That's a lot of money to just say, we're going to find $13 billion more, essentially through taxation, fees for mining royalties, water royalties, stop funding to all private schools. They are a radical party that's polling at the moment 15, 16, even 17% in Quebec election.
Was there a moment when you realized or a time when you realized that, like, okay, we've got something here, this party is growing?
I knew that when Montreal municipal election elected a woman named Valérie Plante, her supporters are connected to Québec Solidaire, these young, again, educated, francophone, left-wing generation. And these are my generation. These are the people I've grown up with. So I'm 32 years old. Montreal is not a very big city, so I know who these people are. So when she won, I remember I was at the election rally, and a young man came to me. He was about 35 years old, like a young man, you know. He looks to me, and he's like, this is the first win of our generation. This is the first time our generation have put people into power. And Valérie Plante was in her 40s, and all the people on stage were these young, left-wing, educated, but middle-class people. The volunteers and the people who put Valérie Plante into power are also helping Québec Solidaire as well. They have similar networks. That's kind of when I realized things are changing in Quebec. There is this young generation that really cares about the environment.
Is this a model for anywhere else in Canada, this kind of rise of an ultra-left-wing party cobbled together from more radical parties? Or is this something that could only happen in Quebec's political climate?
I can't really understand why it was something that would only be happening in Quebec if climate change affects all of the country, if wealth inequality is something that affects all the different parts of the country. It doesn't really make sense where this would be only Quebec. I know Quebec is French, but we're very similar to Canadians. They're a party that has a lot of support from a generation of people who are finding it difficult to own a home, to find a good-paying job that's in accordance with the degree that they've studied for. They're a generation that recognizes that increasingly in North America and Western Europe, wealth is being concentrated in very few hands and it's not being distributed. And these are the subjects that they really rally around. Doing more for climate change, doing more to redistribute wealth that's concentrated in a few hands, and to change the way that we vote in general. These are all parties that want proportional representation. That they first passed the post of something that they would say brought you in Ontario, Doug Ford, someone that they would not support. All three parties, except for the Liberals, say that if we're elected, we're changing the voting system to proportional representation, essentially ensuring that these smaller parties like Quebec Solidaire would have a much more stronger voice in the next election.
Giuseppe, thanks for taking the time today.
Thank you very much.
Giuseppe Valente, Montreal reporter for the Canadian Press. That was The Big Story. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. For more from us, visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca or on social media at Big Story Podcast on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. Find us on any podcast app you choose. Rate us, review us, tell your friends. Thanks for listening. We'll talk tomorrow.